What just happened? Merry Helen Morgan MP Day, everyone. Welcome to the Lib Dem podcast. Hello and welcome to the Lib Dem podcast for a specially hastily arranged meeting. But you know, somehow I think Lisa knew this was coming because on Monday she said, do you think we should do an episode on Friday? So Lisa's always got behind the scenes scoop. And so welcome to a special reaction to the incredible, the historic win in North Shropshire. And just in case he's watching, I don't think he is. 200 years ago, Whig Prime Minister, the second Earl Grey, set up the Reform Act and we finally won the seat for you. So we were a little bit late, but we got there. So welcome everyone for listening and watching. Thank you particularly our Patreon subscribers, as we always like to do. You do keep this podcast going. My name is John Potter. I'm the leader of the Preston Lib Dems. Joining me, as I alluded, is the wonderful Lisa Smart. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, John. It's a good day to be a Liberal Democrat today, isn't it?
It is a good day to be a Liberal Democrat. And also joining us, two of the regular rabble, we have Sam Alhamdani from Oldham. Hi, Sam.
Hello. Lovely to be bursting balloons today.
And the Baroness of Barnsley, Hannah Kitchen. How are you doing, Hannah?
Oh, that'll upset them all. I'm very good, thank you. It is indeed a very good day to be a Liberal Democrat.
Right. Well, I've had very little sleep. And as Hannah says, I probably just need to man up. But shall we just first of all get the numbers right on what actually just happened? So, Lisa, I don't know if you have the numbers or do you want me to do the numbers first?
I just know we've got a stonking win.
Okay, so we'll do the raw numbers first of all from this incredible victory. Was the Lib Dems getting just shy of 18,000 votes, which was 47.2% of the vote. That's an increase of 37.2%, which is utterly incredible. The Tories got just over 12,000 votes, giving them 31% of the vote. But actually, a massive, they've lost two-thirds of their vote in the courses. Caveat, turnout dropped, but not as much as we thought it might, which we'll come on to a little bit later. Labour went down to less than 10% of the vote, despite, you know, being the clear challengers. We'll get onto that a little bit later as well. And a massive 34-point swing from Tory to Lib Dem. I think it's the eighth or maybe the seventh biggest since the end of the war. So this really was gigantic. It was historic. We shouldn't downplay just how mega this result is in terms of by-elections. It is huge, even for the world we currently live in. I think we'll go to Lisa first. So, are you happy with that, Lisa?
I think so. I think the team can feel they've had a good day at the office, John. Yeah, it was a stonking victory for a brilliant candidate who will now, I'm sure, be a phenomenal Liberal Democrat MP to represent the people of North Shropshire. It was bigger than we thought. So I think those of us who knocked on doors there, it felt good. We found people who were voting for Helen, voting Liberal Democrat, and we found more of them than for any other party. I don't think the margin of victory was expected in quite this way. So in the same way in Chesham and Amersham, I think we thought we might do it in the final week. I don't think we thought we'd do it by 8,000, and I think we thought we might do it in the final week, but I don't think we thought we'd do it by nearly 6,000. So, yeah, there's a lot of people who should be very proud of themselves today.
And do you want to mention anyone in particular regarding that?
Because I do. You know, I think there's...
Can I just point out, before you go on to list the actual names, that the HQ staffers get a lot of grief from a lot of people that don't know what actually they do. And actually, the hours they put in to something like this, being away from their family, insanely late nights, really early starts. And some of them, again, I'm complaining about lack of sleep, like a complete wimp. Some of those guys just haven't slept in, probably feels like weeks. So the whole lot of them, incredible.
Absolutely agree, John. And we have got a top quality team who were on this by-election. So I'm going to mention a few names and then I'm going to talk about why they did such a good job and how they did such a good job. So Chris Lovell-Morgan as the agent, some of us know Chris a lot in and around the Northwest, absolutely cracking campaigner. He was the agent, as far as I'm aware, nobody's been arrested yet. So that's job one of the agent achieved. Job two is to get a stonking victory like that. And Chris was great. Dave McCobb, who's director of campaigns, director of field, did a lot of the message work, did some of that leadership stuff. And Ruth Younger, who's one of the heads of Campaigns for England and Wales. So the three of them were that core HQ campaigns team working on it, and they absolutely need to own this victory. They were the ones who got local parties nearby to send volunteers, to work together with them, to share resources in a sensible way. And that led to us doing that. One of the things that we did really early, and I think all of you know that I do a couple of different things within the Lib Dems, which means I get involved at a few different levels of stuff, one of which was early on, we thought, this might be quite interesting, but let's go and see. Let's take the temperature. Let's go out and do some, let's knock on some doors and not do canvassing in the way it's not just a, you know, bang, 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 tell us how you're voting. It was a, so there's going to be a by-election, tell us what you think. What are the issues? What do you care about? How do you feel about them? How do you normally vote? Any thoughts on what you might do in the by-election? So those real conversations, it's not canvassing, but it is knocking on people's doors and listening. And then all getting back together. So going to different villages and towns that first week and saying, do you know, there's something here. The biggest response that week was, I've always voted Tory, but, or I've always voted Conservative, but. And there was a different but, because it was the week Owen Paterson had resigned. There was other things going on. But that was the biggest response. And it felt like there was something going on there. The reason why the team were there and therefore made it happen was because of the local party. So there are two reasons. One is the kick-ass campaign team, and the other is the local party, who, had they not got second across the constituency in the local elections in May, we wouldn't have had a bar chart, we wouldn't have been the clear competitors, we wouldn't have won. Had they not already kind of rejuvenated themselves, and Helen Morgan was a big part of that, the local party were big fans of Helen's because she's a really good candidate, really good person. And the first week they phoned up the campaigns department and said, we want to have a go at this. Can you do us a leaflet? Campaigns department got artwork to leaflet, got 20,000 printed, and they were out in the first week. And that was the local party. And adding, so I'm one of the people who's in some of these discussions about whether we give things a go and where does it fit in our by-election strategy. That local party being seriously up for it was a big part of that decision of, well, let's back them and see where we get to with it. And then the data kept coming in, and the data kept coming in. And Helen Morgan is now the Member of Parliament for North Shropshire.
Hello, John from the Lib Dem podcast here. We are delighted to say that this episode is sponsored by Prater Rains. Now more than ever, you need a professional-looking online presence and website. Prater Rains have been helping Liberal Democrat campaigns succeed for 18 years. Their Lib Dem Foci package combines a website, social media and email system to help Lib Dems win. You'll receive great support from real people, fair pricing and a huge range of features to choose from. Prater Rains are already the bespoke developers for Lighthouse, Lib Dem Draw Online and the LD Directory. They combine a talented system design with an unrivalled understanding of our party, our data and our systems. To find out more, check out the Prater Rains website at praterrains.co.uk/liberal-democrats.
Hannah, your thoughts on the result?
I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? I think, you know, as Lisa said, you know, I was there knocking on doors on Sunday, certainly not been there as much as I would like to have done. But, you know, yeah, it felt decent. I don't think we were in perhaps the strongest area. There were certainly people who had clearly switched to us, clearly people that were willing to lend their vote for a variety of reasons. I mean, same really with Cheshire and Amersham, didn't expect to win that comfortable, really didn't expect a majority quite that comfortable. And, you know, I know the team were a little disappointed yesterday about the number of people that turned up for the Get Out the Vote operation. I just think, you know, Christmas and COVID have hit people, to be honest, and people that had promised to go down, circumstances conspired against them. But it just goes to show that, you know, when you're getting a win of, you know, 5,900 votes, you don't pull that off on polling day. That is about, you know, that is about the campaign as a whole. And, you know, this win has not been ground out in the last 24 hours. It's been ground out over the past few weeks and, you know, and really months. It's a it's such a good result. It's so lovely to see, you know, I clicked on the BBC website this morning and there we are, you know, top of the BBC website, because we fight so hard for that media coverage. You know, we know we're the third party in England, and we battle for every single scrap of coverage. And, you know, this has been absolutely astounding today. And we've, you know, we've proved yet again that the Liberal Democrats are the only party who can take on the Tories in their safe blue seats. You know, we're the only ones that can do that. Labour had a chance in Old Bexley and Sidcup a couple of weeks ago, and they did not manage to convert that into a win. We did, against the odds, again.
Well, you're coming in, John, if I can, because I talked about the team and I didn't talk about Jack Haynes, who was the press officer, who I think is possibly booking holidays with a variety of staff from the Shropshire Star. He spent that much time building a relationship with them. The work of the press team, working alongside the campaign team, working alongside HQ, it's been a really joined up operation, and you could just see things working. And so it's worth mentioning Jack and the absolutely standout shift he put in.
And even just before Sam gives us his thoughts, even today when we were doing the kind of the press junket stuff today, Jack had a special slot for the Shropshire Star ready to go to give them a little bit of time just with the kind of at the pub at the end of it, knowing that those relationships, you've fostered them, now you keep them going. So yeah, brilliant work. Sam?
I think one of the things that Lisa talks about, sort of that between the local party and HQ, like there have been times, particularly in general elections, where, you know, we talked about HQ staff getting a bit of grief because sometimes that doesn't sync up. And I think what worked, you know, something that worked so well is that messaging. And again, it comes from those early conversations. And, you know, that the message here was a different message to Chesham and Amersham. It was really well coordinated. And it went for both the community aspects, because there was sort of problems that were constituency level, and they were addressed as well as we addressed national level issues. And it was really well coordinated and really well brought through and really well discussed. And that kind of that level of consistency and delivery and achievement doesn't happen without a lot of hard work, but a lot of intelligent hard work. You know, it shows the capability of the people who are working on it, and you know, all credit to them. Really well done.
Okay, there are so many parts of this kind of election that I kind of want to touch base on. Lots of things of what Hannah's just said about kind of how we can win these seats where the other parties can't, because that's important. I think this kind of, well, since I mentioned it, I might as well start. This kind of, I've always had the feeling that people in Labour in particular don't realise there's a glass ceiling to where their vote can go. And I think that all the people that talk about Progressive Alliance don't understand that. Even if Labour had the same quality of people we had, run the same campaign, I don't think they would ever have won North Shropshire. I just don't think that vote is there for them. Well, and this is why.
John, did they take North Shropshire during the Blair landslide?
No, and that's exactly my point, is that they will not be able to do that, because there'll be a level of Tory vote that just will not vote Labour. However, they will, as we've seen today, and Cheshire and Amersham, they can and they do vote Lib Dem if we do the right amount of work. So that I think that was, it's actually an extraordinary thing, actually, what's happened today in terms of breaking that up. I mean, all the journalists were asking, you know, about Progressive Alliance and all that sort of nonsense. But actually, what this shows as well, this result, is actually what we've been saying as a group, for that actually dodgy deals done behind closed doors. And actually as Helen said in her speech, she was very clear about that, said actually voters aren't stupid. They know this. They knew Lib Dems had put however many leaflets, had gotten over a dozen leaflets. They didn't need telling that Lib Dems were the main challengers. It was blatantly obvious. And so I think that is a really important part of this result, is actually reaffirming where Lib Dems are. We're not a one-trick pony. We're not just Remainer, Southern kind of party. There is no no-go areas for Lib Dems if we work it, if we have the resource, and if we have a local party that wants to have that fight. Thoughts?
I think one of the key things in this is the number of, like, Labour lost 6,000 votes and we gained 12,000 votes. that's not, so it's, we've not won by Labour coming on board with us or Labour voters coming on board with us. We've won by voters from across the board coming to us. And that, you know, Progressive Alliance doesn't deliver that. You know, just the simple maths of it, we would not have won had we just worked in that way.
And I do think, and it was interesting, Tim Farron made this point when he was doing the walk. So I don't actually know if this was picked up by the press. It probably wasn't, because we were hearing them all in our, things like that. You know, there's clearly a strategy from Labour HQ, I think from the Keir Starmer branch, that there was no effort really going into North Shropshire, no massive effort. Angela Rayner and the local Labour Party weren't playing ball with that message. That was clear. I mean, it was very obvious the local Labour Party got a bit of narky attitude about that. They just felt they deserved to win it. And but that, you know, they, I don't care really, Hannah. You know, that as far as I'm concerned, if they wanted it, they should have worked for it, but they didn't.
I think, you know, just to be clear, you know, when I talk about being anti-Progressive Alliance, you know, that goes for how I feel about Labour's right to stand candidates just as much for, you know, for ours. There's been, as per usual, a lot of talk on Twitter about Labour shouldn't have stood, you know, blah, blah, blah. I completely disagree with that and always have done. You know, I think a lot of people would have seem to think that every single election should be the Tories, one other anti-Tory candidate. You know, that's, it's just not democracy.
It doesn't work. It's not working.
It doesn't work. It demotivates, it drives down turnout. It's, you know, it simply isn't democracy. And I'm not okay with that. Labour were completely entitled to stand, and they were completely entitled to campaign as well. Mm. What I think was irksome about the local candidate and the, you know, the constituency Labour Party's campaign, because let's be clear, you know, Labour very much organises in constituencies. This was very much the North Shropshire CLP that, you know, sort of took a drive on this. They ran a campaign against the Liberal Democrats.
Yeah, their leaders were more about Lib Dems than they were about the Tories.
So if you know, if you want to campaign against the Tories, yeah, absolutely fine. You know, if you want to make the case for the Labour Party, because I think that's what we do. You know, if you think about how we campaigned in Batley and Spen, you know, which was a seat that we knew we weren't going to win. We had some clear goals around looking after our local election voters, and you know, not letting those wards, you know, go without an effort. We campaigned as an alternative to the two main parties. If you like what the Lib Dems do locally, you know, why not trust them with your parliamentary seat as well? And whereas, you know, Labour decided, and you know, I think I just want to say that, you know, when we're talking about Labour here, we are specifically talking about this constituency Labour Party, yeah, and a couple of more left-wing big figures within Labour, because, as you say, the leadership clearly didn't give it a lot of commitment. And the voters, you know, the Labour voters, I spoke to several of them, and they willingly and happily and gladly lent us their vote in order to boot the Tories out. But there was a small group of people involved in that campaign who thought the right thing to do was to attack the Liberal Democrats. And I think that is simply because they would have rather seen the Conservatives win than us. They've been very, very silent on their Twitter this morning, which I think is a shame. I think it's always nice to give a congratulations to the winning candidate, even if you have to grit your teeth while you type it. I don't know if they genuinely thought they were in with a shout. You know, when you only canvass your base, it can start to feel a bit echo chambery like that. If they really just hate us so much that they wanted to undo our squeeze and have the Tory win, I think it's possibly a little bit of a combination of the two. But yeah, you know, big thanks to the Labour voters within the constituency. Same as Chesham and Amersham. The Labour vote didn't collapse to the same extent, but it certainly came down steadily as our message got across to voters that we were the credible alternative and the way to beat the Tories. And Tory voters voted for us under the same
reason.
They wanted the Tories wanted to beat the Tories, so they voted for us.
I think some of the, you're talking about, it's the constituency Labour Party, and I think all we know probably is that it's the person who runs the constituency Labour Party Twitter account who is particularly cross about all of this. And, you know, losing elections sucks. All of us on here have lost elections and it's rubbish.
and it's painful and it's a bit like a bereavement. So I get that. I also get, though, that sense, the sensible direction that lots of Labour voters or previous Labour voters worked out they should go was obvious to a lot of people after that first weekend. So after the local party, I've said it once, I'll say it again, after that local party who were up and at them on the first weekend, Labour couldn't catch up, however angry they got on Twitter. I think it's worth noting that there are some sensible people in Labour, and I think Clive Lewis is one who has been more on the... He's known for being a supporter of doing politics differently, about proportional representation. He hasn't been exactly where I am on Progressive Alliance stuff. He's been more of a, we should look at standing down. He actually said something really sensible today about how, following on from the bit of Helen's speech that Hannah quoted, voters are actually quite bright, and people who campaign with them, to them, and don't think they are often surprised when voters work stuff out, as they did in Chesham and Amersham, as they did in North Shropshire.
So we are going to talk about the wonderfulness of our campaign, but let's just touch bases slightly on the truly awfulness of the Tory campaign, because there's a lot of chat at the moment in the media, and there'll be a lot of column inches written about what this means for Johnson, how much was this a referendum on the government, all that sort of thing. But can we just acknowledge how absolutely god-awful the Tory campaign was? And actually, can we make sure whoever led it is still leading it in the next general election? Because, I mean, the result was so good. Whenever I went down four times, the idea of having the candidate from Birmingham, which I know we went on, some people might think we were too aggressive with that. I don't. You're in this thing to win. Why would you not be really ruthless about it? Not just have picked a Tory councillor or someone local in the area to hold the seat for 2 years until the next general election or whatever. Why risk getting someone as the Tory candidate might be the greatest thing from sliced bread. And he actually, if you look at his backstory, he had a fairly impressive kind of CV. Why would they not do it? I mean, and I think even someone will correct me if I'm wrong here. Was his home address in Birmingham on the ballot paper as well? Was it? It was. I mean, the level of kind of bog standard averageness about it, but also, and it does kind of lead into what we were talking about, the same thing in Cheshire and Amersham, that the Tories were caught on their heels and they didn't see it coming. Now, this one they must have saw coming, and then they still was rubbish as well.
They had a 23,000 vote majority over Labour, you know, not even over us. They had a 23,000 vote majority over Labour. And, you know, we all know the way that both Conservatives and the Labour Party operate as well, is they have a list. You know, there's a list. This gentleman has got himself to the top of the safe seat list. Congratulations, Mr. Shaftesbury-Hurst. Your name is at the top. The next safe seat that comes up is yours. And, you know, all things being right and equal, he should have trotted into that with his Birmingham address on the ballot paper and swept to victory, been an absolute doddle, retained it at the next general election and had a job for the next 50 years of his life. You know, that is how first past the post politics works. But they just continue to underestimate the might of the Liberal Democrat by-election machine.
Yeah.
And the ability of Boris Johnson to really make an absolute pig's ear of things. I mean, they cocked it up. Just the whole Owen Paterson thing, you know, would the local... I mean, I think the local party would have gone for a recall petition, to be honest, if he'd taken the suspension, because they, you know, they're as keen as mustard. But my goodness me, it would have been a hard sell. It would have been a much harder sell than, you know, Boris Johnson made this situation. And yet all through it, they assumed that the natural order would just swing back into place and voters would obediently do exactly what they always do, and things would all be nice and neat and that chap would get to be an MP. You know, he posted this morning that he's very, very disappointed, you know, for himself and his job prospects. To post a congratulation note, which is a bit grinchy, isn't it, at this time of year?
But what did you, before Lisa comes in, is that what that did, and I can remember my very first canvas session, there were pro Paterson Tories who were probably, if Owen Paterson had done a recall petition and was on the ballot again, would probably have still voted Tory. But they didn't even get that right. So there was a kind of, because, you know, he'd been MP for a while, so he did have a lot of personal kind of pull as well in the constituency. They couldn't have inflicted more harm on themselves with the Tories. But Lisa?
So I'm going to talk a bit about luck, and I did it a bit with the Lib Dem local party in North Shropshire, how they had already got themselves to a position where when the by-election was called, they were ready to be up and at them because they'd come second across the constituency and had, I think it was five extremely near misses at the local elections in May. They had, or Helen had stood at the general election. They were working well as a team and they were up for it. And there's something about the harder you work, the luckier you get. And so they were in a position to capitalise on this opportunity. I think for the local Conservative Party, they weren't at parties in Downing Street. I mean, OK, they had joined the Conservative Party and retained their membership during the Boris Johnson leadership. So there's a certain amount of they had chosen, you know, they'd made their bed. But they were, as a campaign team, complacent in lots of ways. I don't think necessarily deeply malevolent, but complacent, and were quite unlucky, I think, with the timing of some of the Downing Street stories as well. So I think we were well placed to capitalise on that. They were not, because of the complacent way they put it all together.
Sam, I wonder, one of the things that came up, I mean, this was obviously probably too late in the campaign to make anything. Like Hannah said earlier, I think, you know, the earlier you start with the campaigning, it's amazing. Once you get your nose in front and once you get ahead of steam, it can be, unless you do something stupid, it's difficult to lose that. But that there was a Michael Crick kind of interview with the candidate of just a few days, and it was torture. It was so bad to the point where, and I realise most people in Shropshire won't have seen that. You know, you have to realise we're in a political bubble. But the fact when he was asked, does he think Boris Johnson is honest and has integrity or something like that? And, you know, everyone, I don't understand the messaging here. If he just said yes, and even if people didn't believe him, went, well, he has to say that, doesn't he? And that would have been the end of it. But he got asked four times and then didn't actually respond, just saying, I am the Prime Minister's leading this country. It's like, what are you doing? Why have you briefed this guy so badly that he can't even answer, whether he just given an honest answer or a fake answer and just move on from the question? And then, obviously, if anyone hasn't seen it, it's really bad. It's so bad. It's almost like worst nightmare sort of stuff. He then gets approached by a member of the public who said, I live in such and such a place. Do you know where that is? And he didn't. And it was just all sorts of horror, Sam. But what's your view of the Tory campaign?
I think they've run out of narrative. You know, they've got by on each time almost we've kind of gone, oh, this must be the point at which people kind of click onto it and think we've had enough. And it's not happened and it's not happened, it's not happened. And they managed to pick something up each time. You know, some of the time it was, you know, clear strategy. You know, they did have an attitude towards Brexit and they took it and they ran with it and they made it work for them. But then when sort of there started to be problems around how Brexit was working, and there was then a sort of spun narrative of, oh, well, we know things have got to change, and what we're doing is, like, this is us breaking things so we can put them back together again. And then we've just seemed to have got to a point where they've broken too many things. And there's no straight line. There's no coherent message. On the radio this morning, they were talking again about the biggest ever vaccine rollout. And I did just think, well, we've never had to do a vaccine rollout like this. So, of course, it's the biggest. If you'd have done 50, it would have been the biggest, because it's the first time we've ever done anything like this. It's a meaningless statement. And so they've got one meaningless statement and that's it. He didn't know how to answer that question, because there isn't an answer to that question. He either lies, obviously, or he wrecks the campaign even further. And there isn't an alternative. He didn't have somewhere else he could step to. You know, what you want to do, and what, you know, we've all had media training here, what you want to do is kind of like take what the question is and deliver your message. They didn't have a message to deliver. So there was no way of avoiding the question, because he had nothing else to say. And that is how their campaign ran.
That's a brilliant answer. I mean, I found that really interesting, Sam. Hannah clearly didn't because she tweeted halfway through it. But actually, I mean, the Tory, I thought I'd get her while she was there anyway. She always bosses me about.
Multitasking, John, multitasking.
But, right, so let's move off the Tories, okay? We'll talk about aftermath and what this means for Johnson right at the end of the podcast and what it means for all of them. Let's talk about our campaign. Okay, so we were hot out of the gates. We went hard and we went quick to establish ourselves as the main contenders. As Lisa's alluded to, that was really key. If we hadn't gone really hard out the gate, we would have, it might not have been clear who the challengers were. So does anybody have a negative about our campaign? And I'm not saying you have to throw anyone or anything under the bus, but this was a fairly, I was trying to think about this on the way home, I thought, because I like to be a critical friend. You know, we're not based on party HQ here. We are allowed to have our own opinions. Do we think, did Lib Dems miss a trick on anything? I was genuinely quite struggling to think of anything where I thought, we could have done that better. Silence. Okay, right. Well, that's good. Okay.
No one's willing to say anything. I think, I think there's been the usual narrative of we need more people, we need more people, we need more people, we need more people, we need more people. Which obviously, we always do. And I guess that's, fundamentally, that's the weakness of our approach, is that our by-election winning strategy involves every single activist in the country piling into one seat, which we do brilliantly well. And we work as a team. The Tories work as a team, really, don't they? This is the Labour Party's downfall, I think. They're so fragmented, so much kind of infighting and stuff. In South Yorkshire, they don't even work as a team. They all hate each other. And they think we're really weird for doing so. They genuinely you're working with Sheffield Liberal Democrats. Like, why wouldn't we? So, but we know that that is why we struggle to translate our by-election success into general election success. Because we win because we have every single activist in the country in one constituency.
Now,
and that Lisa, becomes the problem when we have 650 of them to fight.
Now, Lisa, I don't know if you're allowed to, because you are on the Federal Campaign Committee. You might even be chair. I can't remember. You've got so many titles, Lisa. I'm trying to remember which one. But so if you don't want to answer this, that's fine. I completely understand. But I always think it's worthwhile just reflecting. So shall we say some of the things that we get criticised for? Let's just put these to bed straight away. Did we do too many leaflets?
No.
Is there such a thing as too many leaflets?
No. There is such a thing as too many boring leaflets or too many not very good leaflets. But the literature was excellent. I saw it. I delivered a reasonable amount of it. I starred in one of the photos that's in it. You can see me grinning, holding a diamond behind Helen, looking quite delighted to be a Liberal Democrat on that day. And no, I was dead chuffed with the literature. I think one thing I would say is because you were asking for things that could have been better, I went 5 times, and each time I went, the HQ had its stuff together more and more each time. So the first time I went, the HQ hadn't been really set up. The second time I went, we'd had a chat, and then we got in the car and thought, I haven't had a briefing here. I haven't had a canvassing briefing. So we had to get out of the car and go and ask for one. The third time, the team was absolutely firing on all cylinders. Like they got it set up with the tables in the right place, and you were welcomed in the right way. And you were on a conveyor belt where you were made welcome, but not comfortable. So you didn't stay. You were got out and made to get crack on. And then polling day, it was a whole different setup again. Because of COVID, they were trying to keep people outside. And so it just got better and better. But I think probably that time where we were allowed to leave without a briefing, it hopefully that didn't happen very often. But that's the only, I mean, that's a tiny thing that we should have done better, and we should have demanded one before we got in the car. But that's the only thing I'd say. The team did great. And the reason why I think they did, it got better and better, is because for some of these people, this was their first big by-election. So how do you know what good looks like? That's why we try and encourage absolutely everybody who wants to be a campaigner to go and see a big by-election, because you don't get that opportunity very often. There's some of these people who were quite early in their career. These are not people who've had 20 years of campaigning experience under their belt. This is now their second one, actually. So they did Chesham and Amersham, learned some stuff, came and rolled it out and improved it in North Shropshire. So it gets better and better and better. And it's such a good opportunity for giving people great experience.
Can I just raise something that I think it's really important to know? We talked about this right at the start of this by-election, and we've talked about it in other by-elections, is that, and it came particularly, I think, when during Helen's speech, which we're about to get into, is that we came into this by-election not knowing if we would win, but that wasn't the only victory we could have. And I want to talk about two members for my local party who did come out and help and has actually done so much good for not just, obviously, because they got involved and helped as part of the victory. Brilliant. So one of my councillors was feeling a bit low after the local elections. This has absolutely regenerated. He's not a cyborg or something. He actually rejuvenated him into the point where, well, I wasn't sure if he was going to re-stand to be a councillor. It's been a tough 2 years to be a councillor. He came back from the last session we did together in North Shropshire and said, I am standing next time. He has properly thought, right, I'm on this. We can beat these Tories. Because it is a miserable existence having Boris Johnson as your prime minister, and it can get you down. The second one is we had a newish campaigner, stood as a paper candidate. This was his first real big push. He not only went down with us to start off with, as a car of us, the second time went down on his own. We didn't even know he was going, went down, did a full Sunday canvas, got his first garden stake super board up and thing like that as well. And he is now absolutely bought into it. And there's very little can do that outside of a parliamentary by-election. It is a really unique thing. So I wonder if any of you guys have examples of victories the Lib Dems have had other than the huge victory we've had. I'll go Sam first.
I mean, there'll be a huge victory for the local party, not just what they've got in terms of the MP, but just like when I was out canvassing there, I was talking to people that we'd literally never spoken to. You know, the amount of resource that local party and then just information and, you know, knocking on doors and people going, oh, I mean, for the residents, for them, they'd never been spoken to, not just by us, but they'd just never been spoken to. And to demonstrate to a whole constituency's worth of people that this is what you should be getting from politicians. You know, there's a relationship there that's really helpful for the local party. But, you know, it's demonstrating to however many 80,000 people that you should have a conversation with us. We're not just some strangers on a hill somewhere. We're working with you because we want to have these conversations with you and we care about what you think.
I think I saw somewhere, Lisa, again, might know, and this might have been just over a thing, but I heard, I think it was definitely made public. I'm not breaching any sort of Lib Dem confidentiality. I think we had like 23,000 conversations with residents or something like that to get that sort of data you're talking about, Sam. And that, I mean, I love canvassing. I really buy into the fact that canvassing is the best way of winning elections because it is breaking down those barriers. But Lisa, what thoughts have you got about the successes that have come from this by-election?
I agree with you, John. I think there are a few problems that Liberal Democrats face that can't be fixed by just knocking on some doors. I think the victory I'll talk about is the staff training victory, and not just for HQ staff. So we have got in the party quite a lot of new campaigners, new campaign organisers in constituencies, in regions, up and down the country. And for them, it can be quite a lonely job that if you're brand new, you don't have that team necessarily, because sometimes these are one member of staff, they're two members of staff in a local party, and they're surrounded by councillors and volunteers in the local party, and that can be variable. And to go to a parliamentary by-election where you're part of this team of professional campaigners, you learn so much that you can then take back to work with your councillors and volunteer local party in a way that nothing replicates that. So the way you talked about it, or I can't remember, some of us talked about it for volunteers, it's multiplied for campaign organisers and for professional campaign staff, particularly those who are early in their career.
Hannah?
Sorry, I'm just wrangling dogs and children. Yeah, I think, you know, it's just a massive lift, isn't it? You know, for everyone, just before Christmas, we're waiting to see what the aftermath is in terms of what the Tories will do about Boris Johnson. I think, you know, I think we're going to wait to see, but it's certainly not going to be good for his career, is it? Whereas I think, yeah, my team, you know, we've got 15,000 focus leaflets to deliver before Christmas, and my team have all been out today delivering those because they feel, you know, fired up and excited to be a Lib Dem today, which, yeah, it's, you know, always feel like that maybe. So that's really good. But I think just building on what I was saying earlier about the amount of Lib Dem resources it took to do this, I'm just going to do a little tiny bit of peeing on people's bonfires now, really, because I came third in my constituency. So a big Tory majority, Labour, well, masses behind, you know, but in second. And then, you know, this result doesn't mean we're going to win Penistone and Stocksbridge at the next general election. You know, there's a really superb map doing the rounds on election maps on Twitter, which is what the country would look like if there was a universal 34% swing from the Tories to the Liberal Democrats. And how, I don't know if anyone can remember, how many seats do we take?
505 out of 650.
You know, it's amazing. It's not going to happen. You know, I know Liberal Democrats can get a little bit excited, but the thing we've talked about, you know, in the past, I think on this podcast, is that we, you know, we do best when our resources are not overstretched. That is why we do so well in by-elections. You know, we have, we did really well at the last general in that we got a lot of second places. I know that's, I mean, we did really badly at the last general, but one of the silver linings of that was that we gained a number of second places. And there are some, you know, there are some seats, you know, particularly Tory-facing seats. I'm thinking Wimbledon, Winchester, Eastbourne Walton, Hazel Grove, Cleadle, where, you know, we
Josh
really...
Josh would say Eastbourne. If we don't say Eastbourne, Josh will...
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. So far south, John, I just forget that it exists, you know?
It's nearly France.
It's like, it's basically France. So, you know, it is absolutely vital that, you know, local parties... You know, it's delightful and it's brilliant, but, you know, don't get carried away. Yes, work hard for next year's local elections, because that is the way we, you know, that's the reason that this seat was doable, was because they'd had a good showing in the local elections and we were second in the constituency. You know, Labour always like to go to, well, we were second in the general election. Well, if you've got no chuffing councillors, lads, you know, that's not looking brilliant, is it, to be honest? We, you know, we do well where there's that local government base of support that we can build on. But what we really don't need is every single third place Liberal Democrat PPC thinking they can pull off a 34% swing in a general election setting, you know, because to be brutally honest, we can't. We do best when we target our resources. We cannot sadly elect every single seat in a by-election, but we can make sure that we do not spread ourselves too thinly. And if we can double our MPs at the next general election, you know, that is a much better result than playing for 525 and ending up with five.
Yeah, and we've made this point before that, you know, on election day, you know, I am not going to be the next MP forever, but I can work damn hard to make sure Lisa is. And I think that's what we have to do, and we have to sometimes swallow a little bit of pride and get that done. But I will just say one thing. You know, there's lots of elections next year, and what things you could do. And I want to put this out, that Christmas and New Year is a time when you actually might have a few days spare to think about getting a leaflet, an extra leaflet out, getting a bit, and actually using this to try and think of people that, you know, your strong Lib Dems on Connect or something like that, or people that used to be helpers or things like that. Trying to get more volunteers into your local party, using the coverage that we're going to get from this, you know, because as Hannah alluded to before, we don't get an awful lot of big spread news as Lib Dems. Do that. Have a think what you can do over Christmas and New Year. Okay, so let's also now, I was going to touch bases on Helen's speech, but actually a lot of it we've kind of covered, that kind of thanking of voters, the Progressive Alliance stuff. I will just say, if anyone's interested in Helen, we did a wonderful interview with her. And I want to ask actually Lisa and Hannah this. There's a lot being said about, you know, how now 70 or 69% of the parliamentary party is now women, which is, from my point of view, absolutely fantastic. What does that mean to female activists? How does that translate to you guys? Is it something that really gives a boost and really says this party is actually getting away from, let's face it, middle-aged, slightly overweight white guys? As a middle-aged, slightly overweight white guy, I can say that.
So I think Helen Morgan will be a first-rate Liberal Democrat MP, and I think she cares passionately about where she lives, which is why she's thrown herself into being active as a Liberal Democrat and campaigning to make things better. So I think she'll be absolutely brilliant. And I also think she'll bring something to that parliamentary group as well, because I think she has a different background, a different perspective, a different personality, which I think is really good and healthy. I think it's great. I want to get more Lib Dems elected. I want to get more brilliant people elected. I think it's so, we need more women in politics. We need to get more women elected, yes, as Liberal Democrats, but across the whole of politics, we need more women elected. There needs to be better balance in our politics. We need more disabled MPs. We need more MPs from Black, Asian, minority ethnic backgrounds. We need more, you know, we need more diversity, because all of the evidence is, it's not just diversity for diversity's sake. All the evidence is, if you have mixed teams with different backgrounds and different perspectives, they make better decisions and have better results. And there's so many reasons why that matters. At the moment, I think Parliament's about a third women, or about a third of MPs, roughly, give or take, are women. And so the more women we can get elected to Parliament, the better, because it's better for politics overall. The fact that Helen is a woman, I didn't have anybody yesterday saying they were voting for Helen because she was a woman. I did have people saying they were voting for her because they knew her, they'd met her, they liked her, she was local, was saying sensible things that they agreed with. But I think we need politics to have more strong, capable women. And I think Helen is absolutely 100% one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else want to come in on this? Nope. Right. Oh, Hannah, are you coming in?
Yeah, I have a bored puppy being a pain in the backside here. So hopefully.
Whoa, you've got a new puppy?
No, just the puppy, just the usual puppy. Down there.
Oh, all the Hannah's got a beautiful red setter there. Yes.
So I just wanted to echo what Lisa was saying. It's, you know, let's be very clear, slightly overweight white middle-aged men will never ever be underrepresented in Parliament. You know, that is never going to happen, John. In fact, you know, no white middle-aged man is ever going to be underrepresented in Parliament. We had that dreadful moment, didn't we, when after the ravages of the 2015 general election, we ended up with an all-male parliamentary team, which wasn't brilliant. You know, that's clearly been involved. And I do think it is wonderful that, you know, in so many of our recent elections, both the general elections and the by-elections, we've had, you know, women putting themselves forward and, you know, being selected and, you know, and campaigning and fighting to win. Lisa is absolutely right. There is more to diverse representation than gender balance. And, you know, the fact that we've got that gender balance is not a reason to stop electing more women. That would be truly ridiculous. It wouldn't be a disaster if we had an entirely female parliamentary team for a short period of time, though that would mean losing some very good MPs, so let's not do that. But we are clearly lagging massively behind the other parties in terms of representation from people from diverse ethnic backgrounds. You know, that is a big problem for us within this party, and something that I would like to see improved, going forwards. Also, you know, MPs with disabilities as well. And that's not representation for representation's sake. That's about, I think one of the things that the Liberal Democrats really are about is inclusiveness and equity, not equality, but, you know, giving everyone, yes, equality, but also giving everyone that fair opportunity to get involved. And, you know, equity doesn't mean everything being the same for everyone. It means, you know, putting down those ladders of opportunity to people from different backgrounds, giving them a chance to get involved, you know, in local politics, in local campaigns, and then to lead that on to parliamentary politics as well. I think that is what we are, you know, we're really good at. We don't fetishise one background over another. And it would be really lovely to see a, you know, a truly diverse representative parliamentary team. But for, you know, for a party with 13 MPs, we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
Lovely. So let's go on to the aftermath, what this means. OK, so this is the one that we're let's keep with us to start with, because we're let's bask in our own glory a little bit. So what does this mean, Sam, for the Lib Dems?
There's an interesting, you know, we've had in the past by-election results like this before, and I think the party was in a very different place. And, you know, we've gone through a period where we've lost quite a few members. We've lost MPs, and we've had to think a lot about why we're here, what we're trying to do. But I do think we have a more coherent idea of who we are as a party. We don't necessarily always express it brilliantly, but I think the people who are here are really on a wavelength. You know, you talk to people and pretty consistently when you're talking to members of the party, they are trying to achieve the same things in the same way. One of the things that we would get sort of told off about, reasonably so, I think when we had by-election successes sort of 80s and 90s, was that we were really horses for courses and different things in different places. And I think there was much less of this. You know, we talked about the messaging at this election and how good it was, and wasn't any of that. That messaging, while some of it was pertinent to the area, nothing about it was, it was all completely consistent with our values and our approach and what we're trying to do. And so I think going forward, that actually gives us a really focused platform to take this on. You know, we know what we're about, and we're not going to, although, you know, this could be, the difficulty is not letting this be a one-off result, but it won't be a one-off result because we've just done something really left field and different. It's a one-off result because our electoral system is shot to pieces, and so it makes it really difficult for us to do things like this. But I think we can take what we did here and roll it out across the country in terms of people knowing what we're about and what we do. And that hopefully will mean that if we gain members, if we gain activists as a result of it, they're really tied into to what being liberal is.
Lisa, you're the target candidate. I think we're number 15 on our target candidate list. What does this mean to you?
I think, well, this means a lot of different things. I'm going to talk about what it means for us nationally, first of all, and then maybe I'll talk about what it means locally. So nationally, there's articles. I was just scrolling through my feed, and there's articles in The Spectator saying, now's the time to take the Liberal Democrats seriously again. And there's, like Hannah said, we're the front page of the BBC website. We'll be the so terribly cheesy, it's brilliant press stunt that John was filming today has got so much coverage. It will be in the papers tomorrow. It will be part of a narrative. It will be, if nothing more, it will be a punctuation mark in the career of Boris Johnson, hopefully for the country towards the end of it. But this is a big deal for us as a party, and making sure that we can capitalise on it and make the most of it and get the glow from it as a party, as activists, as members, and make sure that, say, if business people want to support a brighter future, that supporting the Liberal Democrats could be part of that, for example. So if people find a spare 20 grand down the back of the sofa, they know that investing it in the Liberal Democrats is a good way to improve the country, for example. So this matters. It matters a lot nationally. Hannah's talked about how we need to not get carried away with ourselves. And I agree with her strongly about, you know, 505 really lovely seconds doesn't help us very much. Not that we would get that, but I think concentrating on where we can do things, which brings us to Hazel Grove and to the target seats. I think we've got a job that we need to concentrate on getting over the line because of first past the post in these areas where we are best placed to do so. And in some parts, like we've seen in North Shropshire, the Liberal Democrats are the only ones who can do that. We have to build teams, and hopefully, you know, it's much more, it's for most people, it's much more appealing to join a team that you think is a winning team and that it's fun to be part of and the by-election has made look, you know, it makes being a Liberal Democrat look like loads and loads of fun, which of course we all know it is all the time. And there's just only kind of micro pockets where it might slip away from being fun, but generally loads and loads of fun. We need to do that locally. We need to raise the money. We need to know, yes, I think Sam's point's right, know who we are, know what we stand for, be able to relate that to how we can make things better locally, or more importantly, help our communities make things better for themselves locally. Just get a quick community politics dig in there. So we've got to do all of that. And it's easier to do that when you can point to, oh, and we can win as well. It can be really fun to be part of a winning team. Why don't you come and join us?
Hannah, your thoughts on what this means for the Lib Dems going forward? Sorry, I think she was tweeting again. You know, that's... Oh, yeah. Never off a phone.
It's been a day of exciting tweeting. I've now fed the dog, so hopefully that will as well. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is exciting. I was thinking while I was feeding the dog, I needed to come back and I needed to mention Ed Davey. Because, you know, let's be honest, what a brilliant leadership it has been so far for Ed. Poor Ed came down with COVID, I think it was on Monday this week. So having been, I mean, he's, you know, Ed is absolutely the kind of leader who gets involved, leads from the front. I mean, when you're Lib Dem leader, you can't afford not to, can you? He knows exactly what it takes to win a seat. And I know he's been in North Shropshire multiple times through the campaign, supporting Helen and the team and, you know, getting out there, getting that press coverage for them. And then he was tested positive for COVID at the start of this week. And so he hasn't been there, you know, and I know he will have been absolutely gutted about that. To not be there on polling day, you know, Tim Farron had to sub in and hold the big Boris bubble balloon for popping today, which I do think was a joyful thing. Absolutely in love with that little stunt. I was actually just looking at all the misery surrounding it on Twitter.
Can I tell you a little?
I voted Lib Dems. I'd want to take it back. Oh, get over yourselves. We have to claw for every scrap of media coverage. You know, if all we had was Ed Davey going, yes, this was tremendous, we'd just vanish into the ether. We've got to have some silly shapes too, you know.
Can I just put in, Hannah, just very quickly, it was so funny. As me and Sam, as Lisa alluded to, were filming that event for the party. They asked us to do it for them. And you would not believe the conversations that were going on about how they should pop that balloon. Do they know it's going to work and not just kind of fizzle? Things like that. And there was a very funny conversation about Tim Farron had to A, not flinch, or yelp or scream when it went up. So these are the problems when you do these sorts of stunts, but it was really, really funny.
It works. You know, politics is miserable and depressing and boring.
Lisa said there was a modicum that wasn't fun. You've got that message, Hannah.
Let us have a little bit of bloody fun, miserable Labour-leaning Twitter commentators. Let us have a little bit of fun. We've had a good night. You know, I'd imagine most of the people in that group were still drunk, because I'd imagine they started drinking somewhere around 4 a.m. and hadn't stopped. You know, let us have a little bit of fun. It's absolutely brilliant. You know, it's memorable. Well done to the press office. But yeah, I know Ed will be gutted that he's not been there to celebrate. I'm sure he'll be, you know, looking forward to welcoming Helen. But what a solid first, is it a year since he got, I don't even know when Ed was made leader. The time has just evaporated, hasn't it? What a solid first year for Ed as leader.
I think in a bit. And I agree with Hannah, because I know what's good for me, but I also agree with Hannah about the point she's making about Ed. And I think there's something about, one of the traits of a good leader is being able to organise a team around them so that they don't always need to be there. And I know Ed well enough to know that he will be having serious fear of missing out going on at the moment. And he will be both delighted to see the coverage. And he's been part of it. You know, he's on the Today programme, he's done the Beeb, he's done loads of stuff. But he will have wanted to be there holding the balloon, or, you know, being involved in the whole thing. But he has built such a strong team around him that they can do that without him needing to be there. And I think that just is a testament to him building a good team, him being a really good leader who is not a selfish leader and who is able to bring on people around him. So, yeah, I agree with what Hannah's saying.
We're a team. The Liberal Democrats are a team. And that is, you know, I know I'm a bit gobby and I'm always speaking over people and I always like to have the last word. I know all of that. But I am. I'm really rubbish on my own. I am a team player. And, you know, that is truly what I love about this party. You know, people that have really no stake in North Shropshire whatsoever. You know, none of us have got a Lib Dem MP out of this. But, you know, you just feel so invested in the wider success of the party. And, I just absolutely love that. That's what, you know, whenever you feel a little bit of a politics slump, because it can be, as I earlier said, miserable, go and get yourself involved in another Liberal Democrat campaign. Someone somewhere in the country is always campaigning to win. There's always a by-election or a set of local elections or a selection campaign or a parliament. Someone is always working in the Liberal Democrats. Go and get involved. You know, they will welcome you with open arms, and it just gives you that little boost.
Oh, I just wanted to say something about Ed in terms of, like, and this isn't, he's just the opposite of Boris Johnson, and that's what the country needs right now. Like, he's a carer. He's really competent. Like, as a minister, he was so competent and reliable, and he got things done really, really effectively, and there wasn't a lot of messing about. He knew what he was doing, and he got on with it. He's so the opposite of what we have as a prime minister, and that right now, what a fantastic thing that is to have as a leader.
Can I just say, in terms of one of the trips that Ed made to North Shropshire, he ended up in my car coming. I was in a team of three. I brought two colleagues from Hazelgrove, including a member who we'd signed up to the party that day. We said the most useful thing you can do is go knocking on doors. And we had Ed with us because the team thought that managing the leader was within our repertoire. So we went out canvassing. This new member didn't really know who Ed was because he's wearing a hat. You know, he's dressed in winter clothing, and he went out with a brand new member on her first canvassing session to train her how to do it. And she came back going, do you know, he's really quite personable and really quite good at this knocking on doors. And we said, well, he should be, he's party. He's a dick. She didn't work out who he was until we'd explained it to her. So it's just a little glimpse that he was quite happy to take this brand new member on her very first canvassing session and train her how to do it. Because he takes it seriously and he knows the value of it. So there's just a little Ed Davey anecdote to end this episode.
Well, we're not ending the episode yet. You're not in charge of ending the episode. Hang on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Firstly, but I do want to just say two very quick points. Is one, congratulations to some of the local by-election winners last night as well. We did have some, so really, really important. Really, congratulations. You won't be getting any of the headlines, but actually brilliant. Well done on everything you do. And even those people that didn't get over the line, thank you very much for standing. I just want to do a very quick shout out to our CEO, Mike Dixon, who actually put in a serious shift in that. And he's not the public face, really, of the Lib Dems. You've got Ed, you've got Mark Park. He could easily stay in the background. He shifted some. He was there a lot. He was there early, late, whatever, and actually did a lot of extra stuff like rallying calls and things like that to the troops, which you didn't have to do. So I was quite impressed by that. As someone, you know, I'm not a party staffer, but I was impressed that he got his hands dirty, so to speak. Right, very, very quickly, before Lisa, you know, shuts off the power, can we also just very briefly, for Labour, I take it we just think doesn't really mean anything for them, really. I don't think the big aftermath of this for Labour is that. Okay, well, Hannah must have come in. I've mentioned the L word. Hannah's coming in. But a fact,
so I did touch on this earlier, but I think it's worth revisiting. Someone commented on Twitter, and the result we achieved last night demonstrates how badly Labour failed in old Bexley and Sidcup. You know, that was another, I mean, it was a slightly different situation because obviously, you know, it was a, you know, more popular, but, you know, when are Labour going to make a breakthrough? Because there are, you know, we know that there are a small number of seats where we are the main challengers to the Tories. We've listed them earlier. There are, you know, literally dozens and dozens and dozens of seats where Labour are in second place to the Conservatives. what can Labour do about that? You know, how are they? I do think they genuinely need a period of reflection on this. How are Labour going to beat the Conservatives? Yeah, so Jonas just said they haven't won a by-election from the Tories since 2012. And, you know, there is a general election coming up in the next 2-3 years. We know that we don't do as well in general elections as we do in by-elections, and Labour should do better. But how are they going to beat the Tories? You know, what is their Tory beating message? You know, they're horrible about Tories. They're horrible about Tory voters. You know, I think one of the reasons we're capable of switching Tory votes is because we're not mean about Tories all the time. You know, because voters are voters, and they're just people. You know, and I think if you understand someone's reasons for choosing how to vote one way or the other, and have some empathy with that, it makes it a lot easier to persuade them to vote your way. So, you know, I do think there should be a period of reflection for Labour after this, which is why can the Liberal Democrats beat the Tories in by-elections and we can't? Let's see what they do with that. Probably nothing.
And we'll see, because I've said a couple of times that I think Keir Starmer's almost like the perfect Labour leader for the Lib Dems, as in he's not threatening, but he's also not inspiring. And I think that's quite useful, because Tories aren't scared of him, but the Labour Party isn't enthused to go out and fight for him, which actually might make it quite useful for us. Final thoughts then. Well, we haven't really talked about the aftermath of the Tories, because they'll start, you know, trying to lump each other. You can see some of it already, but despite their thing, it isn't really about them. This was about us, and this was about us deciding we were going to roll up our sleeves and do something. But final thoughts, end of Johnson, do we reckon? What's next? As I know, we did this kind of in our 150th show, which everyone should listen to. There was much wine consumed, but we did kind of make sense most of the time. Sam, okay, what's next? Final thoughts.
I think that it's you talk about not about the Tories, it's about the country. You know, it is about the country's turned around and gone, this isn't good enough. You can't a country like this. And I think it's really important for the country that they've seen people stand up and say, this isn't good enough.
Lisa?
We said in the 150th episode that we recorded in Marple, and we turned off the recording before we drank most of the wine, I think you'll recall, John, wisely. I think we said that Boris Johnson isn't going to lead them into another general election. And I think So I would be astounded if any of us really understands the internal workings of the Conservative Party. What we know from being able to observe from the outside is that they're ruthless. And as soon as a leader is not winning them votes, but losing them votes, they just get rid of them. And they are absolutely ruthless, and it happens very quickly. As soon as they feel the tide has sufficiently turned, Boris Johnson will be out and somebody else will be in. And I don't think we know who it is. We can see some people, you know, Liz Truss with her absurd photo taking and sharing at the moment, just utterly absurd. We don't know who will emerge through their leadership election process, but that's probably who will lead them into the next general election and try and ride on a honeymoon period. It won't be Boris Johnson.
And Hannah?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tories are going to Tory, aren't they? They will, you know, they'll be having...
Is that a rap song? Tory's going to Tory.
Maybe. No, they will be having conversations today. You know, will they decapitate him just before Christmas? I don't know. I doubt it, to be honest. I think they're not impetuous people, are they? I think they will be slowly drawing up a end of Boris Johnson plan. You know, not the end, but the beginning of the end is what people are saying, and I think that's fair. I don't think it's hard to see Boris Johnson struggling on past the spring, isn't it? But, you know, I mean, there's local elections coming up, and I don't know how much they care about that and how they want to time their leadership election and their new leader. Yeah, I think the Tory party machine is slowly moving towards ending Boris.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Hannah. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will have something going out between Christmas and New Year, if I can if I can do some, or you never know, there'll be some new news stories. So, but if this is the last episode of the year, we want to thank all of you for listening and watching and being part of it and commenting and everything else that you do. We love doing this and you're an important part of it. So thank you so much, everyone. You can, again, follow everything to do with the Lib Dem Pod at Lib Dem Pod. Do follow these guys on their social media as well for entertaining retweets and everything else that's going on. And if you are on social media, do check out Ed Davies' little victory video as well from today. It was rather amusing, if slightly dad watching the football kind of esque vibes to it. But no, have a wonderful, safe and loving Christmas to all of you guys out there. Do enjoy it. Do be sensible and do be safe. And we'll be back with more episodes very soon.